the journey ends, for whatever reason, we want to celebrate our time together in style. So can I just unpack that just for a second? We want to do more than just get along. We want to journey with people. And on the journey, we hope that everyone will find Jesus and see the world as he sees it. And so that speaks to us of a worldview. In other words, is that we want to be challenging and growing in our worldview. The way that we see things, we want to see it through his eyes. And we want to celebrate. We understand that if you come to this church, it doesn't mean that you are committed for life. You may come for a season, and at the end of that season, you may be moving on somewhere. We understand that. The analogy we use often is the analogy of the train. In other words, get on the train. That's right. We may get to a stop where you feel it's time for you to exit and step off. But when that day comes, please don't slip out the back door. Please don't just stop coming. Just the way you arrived and we celebrated you arriving, we want to celebrate you leaving. That's absolutely fine. Now, we're going to ask you a question for your sake, not for ours. And that question is, are you leaving with unforgiveness in your heart? And the reason we ask that is, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, I was going to say, if you have unforgiveness towards die, I mean, who could ever have unforgiveness towards die? Let's take vessel. Okay, vessel. No, I'm joking. Okay, I'm going to stop talking nonsense. If you have unforgiveness towards someone and you leave and go to another church, that thing follows you. And that unforgiveness will dwell with you, and you will go round and round the mountain, and you will never get anywhere because of that unforgiveness. Please stay. Sort out the unforgiveness. When the unforgiveness is done, then say, okay, now I'm leaving. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. But we want to celebrate. And so the same way as you came in the door, let's celebrate even more for the wonderful blessing that you've been in the life of this church. Okay, let's go. Honor. We want to pay more than just dignity and respect. We want to esteem everyone, celebrate their distinctiveness, and admire the God qualities they have. For us, we believe in the Imago Dei. In other words, we believe that people were created in the image of God. That doesn't mean when you've accepted Jesus and you are saved and you've been walking with him and you are quite a holy person after 50 years, now you're in the image of God. No, no, no. My Bible tells me everyone was created in the image of God. Everyone. Everyone. Everyone, everyone. You say, what about the rapist that's sitting in prison? That doesn't look like the image of God. No, that's the fallenness and the brokenness that has come in. But still, created in the image of God. In other words, there is a redemptive purpose and story for them to come out and live like God. And for us, we want to honor people in that way. Does honoring mean that we are saying you're perfect? Oh, no, please don't misunderstand that. Please don't misunderstand. Andre just got up, honored me for having done some things. You all know that story, is that there's a very little perfection. You then got up and honored Maureen, more perfection, wonderful that he honored. And then he honored the rest of you, wonderful perfection. But does that mean we've all arrived? No, it doesn't. But it's an honor that we need to be honoring and speaking about the God qualities we recognize and see. We want to value. We'll seek to encourage someone every day. An email, a note, a call, a gift, a hug. Simple is good. Simple is good. Could I encourage you to encourage and to value? Is that you say, actually, I want to do this. You know what Smith Wigglesworth was, a big revivalist. Smith Wigglesworth said, I will not go to sleep one night without a soul being saved. How's that? That's pretty amazing. He tells a story. If you read his book, he said one night he's just about to go to sleep. I don't know what time it was. And he said all of a sudden he realizes no one saved today. and he runs out into the street, and there's some poor guy walking past, and he starts preaching the gospel at him on the pavement as he goes by. And I want to say, we may not always have those opportunities. Could I challenge you on this one? Is that you say, I will not go to sleep until I've valued someone. Encourage will inspire, hearten, reassure, and embolden those on the journey. Love will not take ourselves too seriously. Jesus, yes. Us, no. We'll laugh a lot and seriously seek to live on the fun side of the island. And can I encourage you? Please don't take yourself that seriously. Truly, a lot of times we are a bit of a joke. Okay. And we need to see that correctly. Okay. We take ourselves. Could somebody take him out? Okay. Engage. We will engage with people from all walks of life. We care, not just as a step to evangelize. In other words, this is not just about scalp hunting. Okay, now this is a potential, you know, we could get them into the kingdom. We need to understand this is an engagement issue. In other words, let's engage with you because you were created in the image of God. I'm going to be your friend. And then we're going to talk about what that looks like. And then love will know people by name. We'll stop trying to fix people and we'll seek to enjoy them instead. We want the great commandment to be second nature, not second guest. The great commandment is that you love the Lord your God and that you love others. Let's not second guess that thing. Let that be our first and default setting. Okay, so with that as our background, the team then started to talk and say, let's talk about what we look like right now. In other words, this was end of 2018, and the team said, let's just put a sentence together that summarizes where we think we're at. And this is it, is we're a loving and caring community that is ready to move with courage. The foundations are laid and it's time for building. God has done a work and now he requires a response. Yes. And so for us, we've kind of ended the year last year feeling we're a loving and caring community, and truly we are. I loved chatting to Sue, and Sue was saying, please thank the church. Just, we could never have dreamt all the things that have happened. And this from a church. And Dennis and Sue were part of a large church, a really large church. And I don't know the name of that church. I don't even know where it was. So please, this is not incriminating that church at all. I'm just telling you their testimony. They were saying that church was 50 times bigger than this church. And yet the care and the love and the meals and the things we've received here, way more than we ever received from previous church. And I thought, great, great. That's a good story. This is the thing that we're trusting God for more and more. We're ready to move with courage. And I think that there is a new courage that is starting to arise to say we're ready. There's a new season to break for us. God has done a work and now he requires a response. What does our future look like? And this is the sentence we put together to kind of try and capture a little of what we think that future looks like. We live with an expectation that we'll grow in our identity in him and that we'll move into the valley of growing things where we understand that we are called by him and equipped by the Holy Spirit and that this comes with responsibility. Let me unpack that a little. We'll live with an expectation that we'll grow in our identity in him. And a lot of what we do is birthed out of our identity in him. If our identity in him is, I am a slave and an orphan, we will respond that way. In other words, we will come to church groveling and saying, Father, I forgive me, I've sinned, I don't deserve anything. Would you please accept me? Instead of coming in and saying, I'm a son and a daughter, I've been paid for, I've repented of my sin, and he has put his cloak on me. In other words, I wear his jacket. When we understand that identity issue, it starts us on a whole different trajectory. Okay. For the rest, we become orphans, or we become reactive to the things that are happening. Well, I pray the Holy Spirit rocks up today, you know, and, well, kind of slaps me and slaps everybody else here, and then revival will come. No. Faith says, I respond. James says, you need to step out. You need to sing. You need, in that responsiveness is that God comes and responds in faith. Okay, that we'll move into the valley of growing things. And so we started to talk about this thing. And guys, we're talking about Psalm 23, and though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil. And then more and more, we started to pull out of the Psalms, and the guys were saying, you know what, there is a beautiful thing in terms of the valley where things grow. Valley where the blessing comes, the valley where God in his mercy starts to take us through the valley of the shadow of death. And then he starts to set a table, and then we start to celebrate and enjoy him. Does that mean we never go through the valley of the shadow of death? No, absolutely. But he brings us through. And where we understand that we are called by him and equipped by the Holy Spirit, and that this comes with responsibility. In other words, that if we understand I am called and I am equipped, then there is a responsibility on me to do something with that. And so for us, that becomes really key and important. Let me take you through five scriptures very quickly that we felt were very key to us in this year coming. The first one, Genesis 12, verse 1 and 2, is the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I'll show you, and I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. In other words, is that there is, and we're going to get to that in terms of the covenant, and now you start to realize why I'm preaching a whole series on the covenant, is because here he's making covenant with Abraham, and he's saying, Abraham, please understand, is that I want to bring you to a new place, and in that new place, there is a fruitfulness that needs to come. There's a life that needs to come in that place. Secondly is Isaiah 55 verse 3. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you'll find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you and I'll give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. And we're soon going to be coming to the Davidic covenant or the covenant that he makes with David, and we'll understand a little more of this in its context. But here we find him saying, come, open your ears, listen and you'll find life. I want you to have, this is not just about I'm going to do some stuff for you. This is a relational issue that starts to birth in a whole new way. Psalm 107 says, but he also turns deserts into pools of water, the dry land into springs of water, and he brings the hungry to settle there and to build their cities, and they sow their fields, plant their vineyards, and harvest their bumper crops. And how he blesses them. They raise large families there, and their herds of livestock increase. And the encouragement that I want to give you is that in the midst of the desert, is that this is the God. His identity is based around this thing, that there are pools of water, springs that spring up, and there are cities that are built in the middle of the desert. Now you say, oh, you're talking about Perth in Western Australia. No, more than that, I'm talking about our own lives. In other words, in the areas where you have experienced desert, I don't know what that is. It may be that you've experienced desert in your job. You may have experienced desert in your family or your marriage or your finances or your social life or your friendships. I don't know what that desert place is. But this is the God who's a covenant God and says, I'm going to make it spring there. Fourth, Matthew 28, we know so well. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, because I've been given the authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So for us, as a leadership team, we are looking at those scriptures and saying, God, what is it that you're saying? So in many ways, we looked at the connect groups, and I'm going to come to connect groups in a little while. And towards just before this, and the discussion that was busy happening is we were saying, do we need to stop connect groups for a season? But perhaps we need to think differently. And then God gave us some different things to do, but still within the connect groups, because discipleship is high on his agenda. And then fifth, 1 Corinthians 2, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Oh, that you have every Sunday. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. And for us, this is a directional word. If we are coming here and the preach is your feed for the week spiritually, there we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And that's not just because of the bad preaching. That's just generally a principle. I don't care who's preaching. That would be a bad principle. We have to be able to feed independently. And then we come on a Sunday. That's the team talk time. And the team talk starts to get a direction. We need to understand that thing. We need to work out this. I need to be feeding constantly. And now you say, my capacity is one verse. That's wonderful. Then read one verse in the morning, one verse in the evening. But then don't stay there. Say, well, for the next 30 years, now I'm going to read one verse. No. Grow that thing. In other words, is to say, okay, today's one verse. Tomorrow I'm going to try two. And the next day I'm going to try three. And I'm going to see how we can build this capacity so that I am busy understanding that this is not just about being fed, but further than that is that I also understand this is not about clever preaching and head knowledge. This is about a supernatural outworking. In other words, I understand that I get the head knowledge and that starts to affect my heart. And then from there, I have to trust God for the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to carry it out. Alrighty, so if we're saying that, then we're going to say how. How are we going to do this thing? Let me give a couple of things. Let's start top left. The first thing that we have to understand, and one of the things we've loved about the church and is going to become a challenge, and I've said that before, is that we have no full-time elders. So this is not about, we have two hired holy men, they must sort out everything and work it out. No, there are no hired holy men here. We're all in this thing together. We're all hands on deck. We work. We're working people, working class that have to actually make the thing happen because we believe this is the beauty of his church. We think less of ourselves, and we picked up this, Tim Keller is a great teacher, and Tim Keller writes a tiny little book on humility, and some years ago, Viv actually did a review on the book and told us about a brilliant book. Read the book. It's brilliant on humility, but what he says in the book is humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Can I say that again? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. And for us, we're saying, if we're going to be the church that's going to change the world, we have to think of ourselves less. We have to recognize the work of the devil. Okay. And in a first world context, that is not a popular thing, is to talk about the devil. and hell. We don't talk about that first world context. You can talk about it in the third world, but first world, no, it's not popular. You don't. No, we have to understand there is a devil who is trying constantly to do everything he can to disrupt the plan of God. He's very active, very subversive. He's very first world in the first world. And we have to understand that because he doesn't run around with a pitchfork. He's very clever. We have to have positive speech. And I love we were chatting to Mac and Monica. And when we go to Thailand, most of you know, if you've been or even if you haven't, you may have probably heard the story, is that I've said in Thailand, we do not have any complaining. That's it. That's the deal. You complain, we'll warn you 3 times and we'll put you on a plane. Get out. And I'm very serious about it. I actually, that's not even a joke. We would do it. Why? Because we're going to a nation where we're wanting to show change. We're wanting to show a kingdom life and living. And we want to bring change there. If you're complaining, not only does it take us round and round the mountain, but all of the Thai people look at it and go, wow, these Westerners have a lot to complain about. So we want to go with a testimony. And then somebody challenged me and said, so why do you say that when we go to Thailand, but you allow it here in the church? Yeah. I don't have an answer. I don't have anywhere to fly you to. Everyone would be complaining. Where's our next trip? Okay, front-footed. Says it, you know, it's leaning forward. It's saying, actually, I want to be proactive. When I walk in on a Sunday morning, what is it that I can help with? Is there anything I can do? They're still struggling with the chairs. Let's help there. Paul, everything's sorted. Can I help with anything? In other words, what is it that we're doing that's being pro? And now I'm using setup. It could be in any area. What is it that I can help with? What can I put my hand to? Faith. I believe in him. And can I say this? I've been so challenged. Sharon's been listening to a series, and I eavesdropped on one or two of them. And what this lady is saying is we believe in him. But sometimes we don't believe him. Say that again. We believe in him, but we don't always believe him. So we say, oh no, I believe God. I believe God, absolutely. Okay, well then I want you to pack up and I want you to go and live in Thailand. No, I believe in you, but I don't actually believe you. In other words, when you speak, no, I'm not going to do that thing. I just believe in you. It's a conceptual issue. It's not an obedience issue. Oh, no, that's not what he wants. What he's saying is, I want you to believe me, not just to believe in me. Okay. And the Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us that the devil believes in him. Okay. Anti-dualism activists. I like this one. Okay. Is that we would be anti-dualist activists. Dualism is when we lead two different lives. So we lead a life on Sunday, we come to church because that's God's day, and then we have the rest of our lives. Or we have quiet time in the morning, that's our quiet time with God, and then I go to work, but work is not, I mean, it's got nothing to do with God, you know, we just have work. You have work and you have God. And so what we then do is we split our world into sacred and secular. It's called dualism. When we have a sacred life and we have a secular life. And that's what the atheists want us to have. They like that. So you'll hear a lot is, oh, religion is a very personal thing. I don't talk about it. A religion is a thing that has to do with your church. Don't bring that to work. Now, that's what the atheists want. The God of heaven says to us, it is all of life is sacred. All of life is sacred. Whether you are a dentist, a lawyer, or a plumber, you are busy with sacred work in redeeming and sorting out the problems of the world. Sorting out the problems of the world. That is my job. In my job, I'm busy working with kids that have a fallen nature, and we're trying to turn it around and bring a redemptive story for every one of the kids. That's the purpose. That's what I have. So I wake up in the morning. So you say, oh yeah, but that's Christian schooling. No. That's all education is that. If you ask a teacher in a government school who has no bearing on Christianity at all, why do you teach? They will tell you, because we're trying to bring about a brain development and they don't have the words, but it's a restoration. There's a restorative purpose. Supernatural, spoke about a little earlier, speaking the truth, and we want to have those things. Okay, let's go on to what are the things that we're going to do. So on here, I've not listed everything that we do. We have men's breakfast. Our men met yesterday morning. It was apparently an absolutely brilliant time. Vessel challenge, the blokes. I love the stories that have come out of that time with the men. I was so jealous that I wasn't there. The children's church met, and Andre just spoke a little about that. They went through policy and meeting some of the statutory obligations in terms of how we care for our children, making sure that we have good policy in place. Those things are absolutely, but I haven't got all of that on here. Oasis is meeting. I mean, you saw all of that stuff in the newsletter, because I know you all read that newsletter, which is wonderful. Okay, let's go. Couple of one. Let's start top left and talk about a new facility. For us, we are busy working through this thing and saying, God, we're trusting for a new facility. We want a home. We want a home. What that home looks like, we don't exactly know. Where is it? We don't exactly know. We can tell you we're looking for a industrial type premises in Belcata. We think that that's probably a good place, close to the freeway for those that are on the freeway, not too far from here. Costs are a little lower, and we have to move into an industrial area. That's one of the requirements of councils, is they're saying, no, we don't want churches in suburbs. I mean, you're too noisy, you park on people's lawns. No, you're not doing that in the industrial area. Off you go. And so we're going, okay, well, that's a limitation of council. We can live with that. We're going to try and find a place. And so we're busy looking around that thing of a new facility, and we're trusting this is our year to be able to do it. Can we afford it? We can afford it for 1 year. So we're trusting that in that time we're going to grow, we're trusting that your income is going to grow, and we're trusting that God's going to work on you in terms of what it is that you need to give and contribute towards this whole thing. We have faith for longer term is that that would do. Second area is missions, and I've got Thailand up there and India. And Thailand, we're trusting we'll send a team in. Mac and Monica now already are starting to gear for it. They're just so excited. So when's the team coming? Every time we talk to them, have you got a team together? Any indication of how many are coming? It's like, Monica, it's the beginning of the year, right? It's July, you know? It's like July's around the corner. Get the team together. We need to know dates. Okay, we're going to try. So it looks in all probability that the 8th to the 15th is about when we're going to be going to Thailand, and we'll take a team in. And in that time, we may travel to try and get there as quickly as we possibly can and then travel back as quickly as we can. Cost-wise, 2,000. Work on a budget of 2,000. And so what that does is it covers off on your flight, and the rest of the money we take, we collect that, we give it to Barry, and Barry takes care of all our expenses. Accommodation, food, everything else that we need. Basically, you don't need anything over and above that. So you may say, $2,000, that is hectic. You know what? If $2,000 is unreachable by this July, then start to plan for the next July. And use the church account as a savings account. That's absolutely fine. So you can say, Thailand, 2020. And you put a stop order on your account and you work out, it's going to be $25 a fortnight, and you start putting it into that account. Then when it comes around, it's paid off. You have no problem. All sorted. And so we encourage you, if you can, is work it out now. Is to say, okay, I think I can make it. And you may be able to say, okay, well, I can make 1,800 by the time we're ready to go to Thailand. We're going to speak to the guys in the church. Can we take another 2 months and just pay the 200 off? Let's talk about those things. Let's try and make it happen so that you can get to Thailand. We're also trusting we're going to be able to send a small team into India. And that team is probably going to be a fact-finding mission where they'll get in. So one of the provinces of India is called Nagaland. And there's a guy, there's a couple, Tony and Linda Johnson, who have lived in India for years and years and years. They've actually just got their citizenship in India, which is lovely. And they run a whole training center and a church there. And we want to go up, support them, and start working with them into the whole India context. We probably would not take more than 5. So numbers-wise, we can take into Thailand, we can take 12 or 13. Into India, we'd probably not take more than 5 for a first round because we're trying to work out on the ground how logistics work, how Tony and Linda are, and how we work with them into the future. Alrighty, let's talk about discipleship. So discipleship in 3 different areas. Let's start with connect groups. And in the connect groups, what we're wanting to do for the next season is we're going to have 4 connect groups that are going to meet. One of the connect groups is going to meet at Viv and Maria's home, and Vessel and Charlene are leading that connect group. There's another group that's going to meet in Kevin and Heather's home, and Kevin and Heather are going to lead that group. There's another one that's going to meet in Brad and Nusha's home, and the group and the leader that's going to lead that is a leadership couple is Andre and Maureen leading there. And Jubes and Christy are going to lead the 4th group. And that 4th group is going to be the younger group. Now, you all want to go there, don't you? Yeah. No, they may help you in your misperception. But that group is a younger adults group, and generally they travel around quite a bit. So on the calendar, you'll see we've put them down as Scarborough. That's because Jubes and Christy live in Scarborough, and the default will go there if they're not meeting at another home. But generally, they work that out. And they'll lead that. In the connect groups, what we're wanting to do, we've identified 4 programs that we're going to run. 4 courses, call it whatever you want to, it doesn't really matter. 4 equipping times. And in that group will meet for the full term, and in that term we'll cover off on that course. Now, we trust that you will try and get as much done as you possibly can, but you may not finish it, and that's fine. We'll work out exactly how that's going to work. At the end of the term, we're going to switch courses. In other words, we'll just hand, the leaders will swap out with another group, and then the group will meet again, and you'll go through the next course. And so what we're hoping is that by the end of next year is that we would have done all 4 courses. One of those courses is Alpha. And so the reason we're doing it, you say, but Alpha is for unsaved people. No. Understand that Alpha is an outreach program, but it's run by us. And so we're saying we need to be comfortable with Alpha. We need to understand what it's about. We need to be able to discuss it and know the language. And then in the next year, we're wanting to use it as an outreach program and start bringing people in. You say, oh, what courses are we running? What's going to be in ours? Surprise, this week, go to Connect Group because they're going to tell you all about it and you're going to find out, which is going to be great. Okay, in homes, we're trusting that this year we're going to be spending more time in your home. That's not, when I say we, I'm not talking about Sharon and myself. I'm talking about the deacons, and I'm trusting that they're going to be more that are going to come. And so you're going to get a call from deacons to say, hey, we're coming around for coffee. And please know that it's not because they're hungry or because they don't have coffee at home. They are coming with purpose because they want to come and pray for you and spend time. Okay. And sometimes you're going to have old people like Andre and Maureen. And sometimes you're going to have, and sometimes you're going to have young people like Yaku going to come and visit you. And that's great. The third area is the outreach and community connection. And in that outreach and community connection, we already have some people doing that are linked in with aged care. And Sharon went this week and worked in one of the aged care facilities, had great time there, and we're trusting that that's going to grow. The second area is we're trusting that once we've got our own venue, we're going to look at craft and how we can draw people in on that. And then we're also looking at language, is to say, are there language opportunities where we can go and have conversational English with migrants, whatever that may look like. Third area, deacons. The deacons and the priesthood of all believers is that one of the things you may have picked up here is that this is not around, we have one person who is a hired holy man, and then there are people who report to him, and then there are people who report. And no. We have different functions. And so the different functions in the church is that as elders, we fulfill one function, guide, guard, and govern. The deacons fulfill a different function, and the deacon's function is a lot around caring and making sure people are looked after. And the saints is to bring about the supernatural in the way that we minister to both community and to the body of Christ. And so that is not a hierarchy in terms of that. It really is a function, in other words, function. And what we're saying is we all have a role to play. This is not about, oh, well, I haven't received. There's a wonderful scripture in Proverbs. And it says, to him who wants friends must show himself friendly. Isn't that a great scripture? To him who wants friends should show himself friendly. In other words, if you want to have a whole lot of friends, then go and be a friend. Go and be a friend. Make friends with a whole lot of people. Then all of a sudden you have friends. And you say, no, I don't easily make friends. No, I don't think the Bible really is giving us an option. I don't think it says like, you know. It's saying that's what you should do. And so for us, that principle applies in every area. In other words, is if I want to be connected, then I must connect. If I want to be living out the gospel, then I must go and volunteer and find a place to live out the gospel. You say, but we thought that was your job as kind of the lead elder. Is you tell us what to do. No, sorry. I think you've been disappointed, haven't you? Because I'm not going to do that. The priesthood of all believers means you and I are both priests, and we minister as unto the Lord. That's what it means. Okay. Cool. Let's have a look. That basically covers off on all the little dots that were up there. 2 minutes to ask questions, if you have any. Yes. Any dates for India, Roz? My guess is we're talking September, October. Sorry, October. And so, yeah. I think we'll probably start that discussion and some of the planning now, which would be good, is so that we're ready for that. Yeah. If you're wanting to know more about India or kind of a little about that, please chat to Vessel. Vessel's going to be leading the team that we'll go in with. All good. Yes.
Is there a sign-up sheet I just want to know if there's a sign-up sheet or like how, if people want to change groups or if someone wants to join our group and they haven't been in the group last year, is there some way that they can do that?
Yeah.
Just so that we know, I'm just thinking in terms of numbers for us.
Yeah.
I kind of know who we're coming, but there might be other people who want to join us. I don't know.
Wonderful. Happens. Thanks, Noosh. That's a great point. I am hoping that you would speak to either the hosts of the home group, so we've told you who the hosts are, or you'd go and speak to the leaders, and the leaders and the hosts will be chatting about who we're anticipating to come to Connect Group. Can I say that for us, we're trusting God, is that we're going to have at least 90% of our people in connect groups. We understand that there are 10% that may have evening jobs or there's some reason why you can't make it to a connect group. But for us, this is vital discipleship. It's vital discipleship. And the difficult part is if you say, well, I'm tired in the evenings, and so I'm not coming to that. What you're doing, and sorry to be this blunt, but what you're doing is you're putting a huge burden actually on the connect group, on the leaders. Because when you say, I'm tired and I can't make it, we can't then as leaders sit down and say, oh, well, if they don't want to come to connect groups, we don't care. No, we have to care. That's what God calls us to. And he says, make disciples. And so when you say, well, I'm not coming to connect group, we then like, okay, well, now we have to go and disciple you on your own. When do we find the time to do that? So we're not just being difficult about this thing. We truly care about your discipleship. Growing in Jesus was not an option. In other words, oh, well, I want to grow in Jesus or I don't. No. Growing is a requirement. It's a requirement. And it's a requirement on us as leaders to try and help you in that thing. So when you say, okay, well, I'm not going to go to Connect Group, we have to go, okay, well, now we have to think about other ways to do this. And he's, okay. And I've got a smile on my face. Kevin. Sorry, just hold. Some may need to just hear you there.
Is it appropriate? Mark, is it seen as appropriate to invite someone who's not part of the church culture to come to a connect group? How do you view that? Because they're coming in without an understanding of what we're talking about and so on. But if any of us had a friend.
Mm. Wonderful. Listen, I'm just, thank you. That is a, so excited about that. The thing for us is that is a wonderful, wonderful, like, inroad or for them to have a look. For many people, they won't come here on a Sunday morning. It's just too intimidating. I mean, I say this often, and you hear me when I'm welcoming visitors, is it's a tough gig to walk into a church. And I remind you of what it was like to walk in here for the first time. Or another church that you've been to. It's a tough, you walk in, you don't know who's who in the zoo. But when you're going with a friend into a smaller group, there's a far greater ease in that thing. And especially in this round, because we're doing the courses, is you can invite them and say, actually, and the nice part is that in the courses, if they haven't attended the first 6 weeks and they arrive on week 7, that's absolutely fine. It's they standalone sessions, so it's not as though you arrive on week 7 and then go, what the hang goes on here? I don't know what they're talking about. It's a standalone session, so you can actually engage right from, you know, where you're inserted into the group. Now, what it may mean is that you love the, you know, week 7, 8, and 9, and then you kind of go, well, actually, I want week 1 to 6, and you may actually end up leaving the group so that you can go there. And we understand that. In other words, is that there may be transfer growth between the groups because you may have wanted to see that. We also understand that you may miss a week. I mean, that's the reality. Some people travel for work, we get sick, whatever it may be that you miss that week. And what we would encourage you to do is to talk to the leaders and is to say, well, can we get hold of the material? Or, we want to watch that video so that we can kind of catch up on that week. And that's absolutely wonderful. No problem at all. We'd really encourage that.
I've been involved in quite a number of Alpha courses, and really the best way to learn, I think, for a fellowship, what it's all about and how to use it, is by having non-believers there or friends there right from start. And, and maybe this could be encouraged, that whoever's got the Alpha group, see if you can't have one or two or three non-believers or non-church worshippers, and this is going to change the total dynamic. Yep. Otherwise, we're just looking at ourselves.
Great. Brilliant. So we won't tell you who the alpha group is, except that it's the young people. So Jubes and Christy and our young adults are going to be leading, going through Alpha first. Jubes and Christy have been part of an Alpha group, and as I remember it, have led an Alpha group as well. And so for them, they're quite comfortable with it, which is great. The first week is we're going to be going through an intro on all of them. So we're going to be looking at intro, just getting our heads around it. They'll show you what the course is about. They'll show you the books that are available. You may want to buy books. You may not. There's no pressure on that at all. Sometimes there's summaries available online. You can download the summary, whatever it is that might be helpful. For the second week, they'll kick off. And so in terms of that young adults group, specifically with Alpha. But I would encourage it with all groups. I would encourage it with all groups. Invite people. Invite your friends. All righty. So, we have one more.
Just wondering, in your search for a property, have you found any likely places? And what sort of extra commitments you're looking at for taking it as far as financially it goes.
Okay. So let's just, I so appreciate these questions. They're so helpful. Thank you. So in terms of property, we have had a look. Andrea had found a property which is not quite ideal. Andrea's been leading the search party on this one, so it's been really helpful just to hear. Found a property in Balcatta, almost opposite Bunnings, which is pretty close to a really good intersection, which is a bonus. So as soon as there's a bit of street frontage, it's easier to find, first of all, and is that there's passing traffic and they will see signs and things out. So that's really helpful. For us, we are anticipating. So let's just talk costs so that we have a good idea. We're talking roughly about 35,000 to 45,000 a year for us. That covers everything that needs to go in. Now, understand that we probably are going to need 10,000 to 15,000 just to set it up. In other words, is that we're going to be able to have the chairs that we have here. We have all the things that are needed to make the church happen. And you will be shocked when you see we can buy cheap chairs, you know, cheap, $10 each. And you're all going to, and then we have to pray for healing on your back. And then people fall off the chair and we have to pay for, you know, compensation. We don't want to do that. We want to say actually do it well and set up for you know, wisely in terms of the way that we spend money. So we understand that. In terms of that, we have saved up and that's in the bank. So that's great. First year paid for. Our setup costs are paid for. Our first year's rent is paid for. But the minute we move in there, we're going to need to start putting money together. Say, let's say it's 45,000. We need to start putting that money together to pay for the next year. Okay. And in most cases, we're probably going to have to sign a lease of at least 2 to 3 years. So they don't, on industrial property, they don't want to sign a one-year property. They want you to sign up for two. But if you negotiate a really good deal, then they say, okay, we'll give you a really good deal, but then we want 3 years. Out of you. And so we want to be wise in terms of how we handle that as well, because we're trusting that it's going to grow and that people are going to come. So we can find a little property that fits us in, but then we have a problem if there's growth and we can't get out of the deal. We also don't want to have a huge place, and then in this huge place is that we're not maximizing the utilization of the building. We anticipate that in time, we're wanting that facility to become a real hub for us. In other words, is that we would have all sorts of community things that are busy happening there. I trust God that we're going to have a cafe in there in time to come. I'm trusting, and not just for a Sunday, is that we have a full-time cafe that runs there. There's a possibility of a bookshop in there. There's a possibility that we have clinics running, for baby clinics running. I would love to see that we have either a daycare or a early childhood facility that runs there. And so there are all those possibilities that we're looking at and saying, what are the things that could happen? But we want to try and get in, establish, and then say, okay, let's go. Let's start to dream a little further. I think in time, there are those things to come, but let's not, outpace ourselves in that.
Sorry, Mark.
So we would pay roughly about 15,000 here, but then obviously we only have it on a Sunday.
Yes,
so then we use the hub for prayer and everything else, and different things around the city. So and that was kind of the, I think we're probably closer to the 18 with some extra meetings that we organize. So sort of the jump from 18 to 35 is a fair jump. To be able to take. Yep.
Cool. Sorry.
Alrighty. Now for the preach. The level of excitement just dwindled suddenly. How to kill a party. They're asking for a break. Lock the doors, we're going to have a party. I need a break. Okay, I was going to take a lot quicker, and I'd a short preach. We're going to carry that for next Sunday. That doesn't mean I'm going to lengthen it for next Sunday. It's not just, let me not create any misperceptions or false expectations. But the reason we do this at the beginning of the year, and one of the things I have not done well, and I apologize for that, the thing I've not done well is I've done this talk at the beginning of every year, and then that's the end of it. We don't talk about it again. And by July, everyone's forgotten that we ever had a vision talk and where we're going as a church. And so one of the things that you'll see in the newsletter is I want to put that in the newsletter, and I also want to start to insert a little more so that we remember what it is that we're about, and we remember what it is about where we're going to. So for us, sometimes good to look in the rearview mirror for a second, then look at where we are currently, what our environment holds, and then is to talk about our destination and what it looks like. And so we trust that we'll do that a little more. And so in the unfolding of this, sometimes you're going to hear stuff over again. And that is not necessarily a bad thing, is for us to be talking it through. Because as we do, there's creativity that arises in the group. Please understand, the priesthood of all believers means is that the creativity sits in this room. It does not belong to the elders or the deacons. Not at all. The creativity that God gives us is in the priesthood of all believers, where somebody comes and says, have you thought of? And we go, no, we haven't. Wow, brilliant idea. God's opened a door. And off we go. Okay. Let's stand together. Time to pray.